Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, no, don't turn and walk away. What I have seems kind of bold. Well, it's a question that should run deep, deep down, deep down in your soul.
Concern.
would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries?
What would happen
with the image of an African American man as a savior of the world before them? To the world, children put under the fear of a particular race. Considered pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men.
Tell me what would happen.
Nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. He, God, created. This is the message of concern.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. מניקי יומדי I will make to Belium while it all I mean.
As-salamu alaykum. I pray Allah that this phone is working. You are having difficulties out of our phones here. It seems like I don't think it is working. Well, let me try and see about doing something before for the others come on here. Oh my goodness. With the live name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in peace and blessings may ever be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and Allah's messenger. Greet you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. I want to also translate the Arabic Al-Fatiha, first surah of the Quran that I just said in Arabic. And I want to be able to recite that to you exactly the way it is in the Quran, so we don't do any mix-ups or say any extra words that are not there. So here we are. Al-Fatiha, the opening. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Sadat Allahuddin, sure Allah speaks the truth. Assalamu alaikum. Right now, it seems like, well, there's nobody on the board but me. I have to get this phone fixed up and fixed up right before someone else does come on. Seems like we're back in, and okay. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, coming out of L.A., Los Angeles, California, sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School, and also shared this Freedom Space here, on the Blog Talk Radio Show, Brother Amin Yathir Muhammad, who was kind enough to share this Blog Talk Radio Show with us. It's been going on 3 years now, alhamdulillah. And our main topic is the message of concern. And as we know, the message of concern is concerned about removing all racial images from worship that portrays divine. Removal of all racial images from worship that portray divine. Okay, and the images can be the statue, could be a cross, or any images or symbols that they may have to indicate that we're worshiping more than one God, which is not true. We only have one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. We bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets and Allah's messenger. May the peace and blessings ever be upon him. And as we know, we have a second focus, which is the removal, which is also the psychological effect that that image has on the minds of the world's children. And it has played tremendous negative job on the minds of our children, the world's children. And it gets them confused. When they get certain ages, they start asking questions. So you know, they're thinking, they're wondering, they want answers because they start asking questions. They see things that just don't connect and don't add up. So you must tell them the truth. And that is the part that we are determined, with the help of Allah, to do also. We have to work at it. It takes more than just us, you know, to do it. Because you consider all of the children, which we say the world's children, if they're in a country that's not that teaches a Trinitarian doctrine, God is three in one. And when they start to ask questions because they feel as if they don't understand that part, that means we have to find a way. And we have to come up with a way, clear way, that they can understand that there's only one God, creator of the heavens and earth and all in between. It's not a human being. We worship God in spirit and truth. You cannot see him. But we can see his works. We can see God's, Allah's, the Creator's works, the trees, the air we breathe, our minds, our makeup, our senses, blood running warm in our veins, our abilities that we've been blessed with, and to work our minds, our brains that Allah, the Creator, has blessed us with. So now, man may try, but it will never compare to the works and the creations of Allah, of the one Creator. Okay, no matter how hard he tries. Because we are the Creator's creation. So how can we come up with anything compatible to God's creation? We may try and invent some things, maybe imitation, or may experiment on many things that they can never compare. And they do those things, those inventions or creations, you know, try to create something. They do those things by the will of God, by the will of the Creator. Only by the will of the Creator is man able to invent and come up with different things, inventions that may work, that they feel similar to some of the inventions, or not some of the inventions, but some of God's creations, okay, or some of the Creator's creations. But it will never be the same as our Creator's creation and what has been created by our Creator. So we have been blessed with a mind to use, and we must use it to the best of our ability. We must teach our children to also use our minds to the best of our ability, you know. And we must, most of all, tell our children the truth. We must first study the truth ourselves and connect. That makes sense. Because if it was not explained to us clearly, or if it was not explained to us at all, because you know there was a time when the elders, some of the elders didn't explain different things to the children, especially about their history and about life itself. But for those who did, alhamdulillah, we pray that they were taught the truth so they can pass it on. And that's what we're trying to do now. Those who were not taught the truth or was not even mentioned, you know, and maybe they weren't even allowed to ask questions. You know, there was a time then, too, before that the children were not even allowed to ask things that they were curious about, especially when it came to life itself, you know, and creation. Because maybe our ancestors or some people didn't know themselves enough to teach us the way that we would understand. Maybe they didn't, they felt a little bit incapable of not passing it on to us in the way that we would understand, that it would be made clear to them so they can pass it, our children could pass, their children could pass it on. But if whatever the case might have been, then it's better now. It's better now. You know, there are things that have been uncovered, things that we have pulled the rugs off of and have told our children about, have mentioned to our children, and definitely when they start asking questions, then that means we have to have studied ourselves or study or something, reference we can go to be able to explain to the child. And so that the child can go away when they leave us and we finish explaining to them according to what the question is that they ask, whatever their question might have been that they started the conversation curious about, and we would have studied ourselves, gone to sources that we know, or answer a little bit today and then do some research and answer a little bit of it, finish it up tomorrow, you know, or another time real soon. So the flavor's gone, and they no longer are curious about what they asked, or, you know, they forget about what you mentioned to them first in order to connect with the second part that you may mention to them or try to explain to them. But anyway, we have to do what we can. It is our obligation. It is our obligation. We know we could never repay God. We can never repay our Creator for creating us and blessing us with different abilities, such as learning, researching, and using common sense and connecting to explain to our children and those coming after us. You know, we can never repay. That's a... Here's the name of the loan. In other words, that's a debt that we can never repay. We can never pay up. Okay, that's a debt. So we pray to Allah to bless us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do at least something to show our appreciation and show our gratefulness, how grateful we are. You know, and how great thou art, how great our Creator is. So, and we have to show gratefulness to Allah, to our Creator, for creating us and blessing us in the many positive and wonderful ways that He has blessed us with. We just have to be mindful. Just be mindful. And you can never... Like the 99 attributes and some, you can never repay Allah. You can never repay our Creator for creating us. And we can show gratitude. We can show gratitude and do what He asks us to do. And let's change our conditions. God Himself, and so that our Creator Himself can change the conditions that we have that we know that are not helpful to us in our families or the world's children or others. So we have a lot of things to be grateful for. We cannot thank our Creator enough for creating us and for blessing us in so many ways. And that way, if we are grateful and sincerely grateful, we will never complain. We will never complain about anything. Maybe discuss it, but not complain. Not complain about it, and not negatively. In a conversation, yes, or sharing, yes, but never complaining. Never complaining. Well, I do have the latest Muslim journal that I would like to mention. It's been a while since we've had a Muslim journal. And it just seems so funny to get this one, which my husband picked up on Friday, Juma. And it's March the 19th through the 25th, 2022. And it says, City of Jackson unanimously endorses International Museum of Muslim Cultures, beloved community transformation pilot project. And this is really interesting. This is really interesting. And we also have an article in here this week that talks about, well, from March 19th to 25th, it talks about the pandemic highlights need for return to basic values. Need to return to basic values. Then we have Ramadan and fasting upon us. And what if you cannot fast? By Nakia Shaheed, Muslim Journal intern. Okay. And then we have some connections that we're following the connections from Atlanta to Miami to Birmingham, Alabama. All right. So all those are needed. Okay. My. This is such a thick Muslim journal here. It's like when you get it, you can hardly put it down because there's so much in here that we've missed out on until it's just really, really good to have it back to see it back, to be able to read from it and try and catch up on it. You know, it's good to have the Muslim Journal, you know, in your presence so you can be able to catch up. Yes. I would like to start off number one by saying this is the 1st of May. So Ramadan is about to end. Another Ramadan is about to end on us. And we're being told if the moon is sighted tonight, we'll have our Eid feast tomorrow morning at 9:30 at West End Park here in Atlanta. But if the moon is sighted tonight, then all of our masjids, whatever state, if they followers of the Imam W.D. Muhammad, then we will have our Eid tomorrow morning, which is Monday morning. Okay, Monday. And if we don't sight it tonight, for Monday, then automatically we'll have it Tuesday. Automatically we have our Eid on Tuesday, which will be the 3rd. Is that the 3rd? Because today is Sunday the 1st. Yes, Monday the 2nd. Tuesday is the 3rd, right? So it'll be the 3rd. If we don't sight the moon on tomorrow night. If we sight it tonight, which is Sunday, the 1st of May, we will have Eid prayer on Monday morning, the 2nd of May. okay? But if we don't sight the moon tonight, then we will have it Tuesday, which will be May 3rd in the morning. Now, for those who are going by the calendar from the east, they will probably have theirs automatically tonight, or probably had it this morning, or maybe tomorrow morning, because they start on the 29th. I mean, you know, this is like 29 days, like a day earlier than ours. So that's the way that goes. Inshallah, there is a prayer that we said, well, I won't do that because I don't have that ready yet. But we want to read an article from the Muslim Journal this week, March 19th through 25th, 2022. It says, Ramadan and fasting upon us. What if you cannot fast? This is a small article, and I just want to read it since we just got the paper. You know, we haven't had a paper in a while. But I do want to read this. In fact, this is the first paper we've gotten for Ramadan. Yeah, it has to be, because it's March issue, and Ramadan came in April. Yeah, for the whole month of Ramadan, we didn't have a Muslim journal. Okay, well, anyway, I want to read so far right here so we'll share some experiences someone that others might have shared. And this one is page 11, Muslim Journal edition, March 19th through 25th, 2022. Muslim Journal, page 11. And it's supposed to be like a form of education, letting us know that though Ramadan is a month of fasting for Allah, and what if you cannot fast? And Allah says in the Quran, He doesn't want to make anything harsh for us. And nothing is compulsory in the religion of Islam, but we do have ways in our religion that we do adhere to and abide by. Okay. This young lady's name is, this is by Nakia Shaheed, Muslim Journal intern. She says, Ramadan is fasting upon us, and what if you cannot fast? As we come close to the month of Ramadan, there are some facts in history about this sacred month for Muslims that we always should never forget. Ramadan comes around every ninth month of those following the Muslim calendar months. Ramadan is the month of fasting from sunup before Fajr prayer time to sundown. Not only are we fasting from food and drinks, but also from bad habits picked up since the last time, since the last fast. Bad habits picked up since the last fast. A lot of us are not able to fast. That is giving up food and drinks due to health problems. Those who cannot fast are commanded to give zakat, to be charitable to others as their way of observing the fast. An example of some things to do are feeding the homeless, giving back to the community, and donating and helping orphans. Helping orphans is very important in the Islamic religion, being the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was an orphan. There's great detail in the Quran about the rights of the orphan. The month of Ramadan always begins and ends when the new moon, when visual called a crescent moon, is appearing to begin the ninth month. Okay, the month of Ramadan always begins and ends when the new moon, when visual called a crescent moon, is appearing to begin the ninth month. The Muslim calendar year falls a few days shorter than the Gregorian calendar year. Now, the immigrants from the East, their calendar is a Gregorian calendar. That's why they start a day ahead of us with Ramadan. like it says, the Muslim calendar year falls a few days shorter than the Gregorian calendar year. Therefore, Ramadan begins 10 to 12 days earlier every year, which means it eventually falls into every season in about a 33-year cycle. This year, it is projected that the month of Ramadan will start on April 2nd and end on May 1st. All depends on the sighting of the crescent moon. Also, this has been known to differ depending on the county one resides in. Really, I never heard that one. Okay, during the month of Ramadan, there is an important night that comes within the last 10 nights of the month. This night is called the Night of Power. This is usually around the 27th night. The Night of Power is important to the Islamic religion because this is when Allah began to reveal the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Quran was revealed as a guidance to the people. And so during Ramadan, we are supposed to read the entire Quran before the month ends. The month of Ramadan is the month that Allah will forgive all our past sins if we are faithful and truthful during the month. This is also the month where Satan is locked away. Extra efforts should be made to follow all five pillars of Islam during this month and refrain from any wrongdoings. At sunset or just before performing the Maghrib prayer, we are to gather at home or in our mosque to break our fast with fruits and water called iftar and then enjoy a meal after Maghrib is completed. After Isha prayer, the traditional night of power, there is another set of prayers offered to make, the Tawari prayers. It is said that by performing these prayers every night of the 29 or 20 days of Ramadan and reciting parts of Quran in them, the entire Quran can be recited within the month of Ramadan. At the end of the month of Ramadan, we celebrate Eid al-Fitr, which is the feast of fasting breaking and is also one of the two major annual Islamic holidays or observances. At the Eid, we are supposed to celebrate the ending of the month of Ramadan with a special prayer offered. Muslims dressing especially nice and with a feast and festivities. Okay, now that's what's said about Ramadan, but this was wrote in the Muslim Journal before Ramadan came in, the 1st of May, but then it's still good because, inshallah, we'll be here next year, and we will remember or can refer back to this particular Muslim Journal edition about Ramadan. There is a special prayer that usually the brothers do during the Eid prayer. But there's also, I believe, that there's a special prayer that you automatically say with your family or whatever. We recited after the reading of the 30th of the Quran, a prayer supposed to be said after completion of the reading of the Quran. And I don't know that prayer by heart. Didn't memorize it. And I would have to bring it and read it to you so that I won't make any mistakes. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful. Okay. Let's see what else. And if anyone else is on the line, wants to come in and contribute something to Ramadan, their new experiences or their any changes from old to new, or any learnings that you have learned that you didn't learn before, you know, or any, I would say, spiritual feelings or upliftments that you didn't have before that you have now that Ramadan is ending. Just like you would share the night of power, Laylo Carter. It's like you would share that then. Maybe if you want to mention some of them here tonight on the Blog Talk Radio show, please feel free to do so. If you want to share that with us, I want to let you know what I have myself. I'll start it off. I've learned number one new thing that I wasn't certain about before, because I've tested myself each Ramadan and it did not sink in the other Ramadans, even though I thought about them, or they might have been thought about, or I might have felt that it was something that I needed to remember and practice, but I did not at those particular times. But now this particular time, I have learned that this is really something that I must do and must follow through. Because I'm getting older, for one thing, and I have a birthday coming up 28th of May, this May, and I'll be 77. My daughters and I were talking the other day, and it just seemed so ironic that I said, wow, y'all catching up with me. Because those when Alnisa, we're 20 years apart, but she was born in April, April 27th. So she's already 57. Okay, she turned 57 April the 27th of this year, my oldest daughter, Alnisa. Now, Bushra Hila Shabazz, is the other one, Alnisa Winona Shabazz. Okay, and Bushra, she's during the year, she's, since Alnisa's 57, and Bushra is like, and they're 3 years apart. But when her birthday comes October 31st, Halloween, when Bushra's birthday comes October 31st, she will be 65. So they'll be 2 years apart. And I'm saying now my age and their age, and I told Alnisa, my oldest daughter, who turned 57 on the 27th of April, I said, you're catching up with me, you know. Seems like it. And then Bushra, I got her a little bit mixed up because she is my baby, my younger daughter. And I said, well, Bushra, how do you get to reach the normal? Not 54. She will be 54 on her birthday, Halloween, April 31st. She was born during the time we had a riot in New Jersey. My goodness, that was a riot. Yeah, and then I had to go on to the hospital. They blew up, knocked off one corner of the hospital. My goodness, that I went in. But anyways, that was during that time, yeah. Thanks for riding down our street. Men, military men standing up, guardsmen, what you want to call, standing up on the back of the tanks with their guns pointed. As if you say boo, like they would shoot you or something. That was awful. That was an awful time. And I was expecting her. Yeah. Expecting my younger daughter. And I went right on in. right on into the hospital, too. That was really something. But anyway, Yeah, they, sometimes I can remember the year, but I can't remember, sometimes I cannot remember the year, but I can remember their ages because of the distance and space between, you know, like the ages, the twin between. So anyway, alhamdulillah. So I'm just 57 now. Bushra will be 55 in the October 31st, and I will turn 77 on the 28th of this month, May. So that's got that. And okay. But this paper, like I said, there's some of the things, and if you want to contribute, there's my brother. If you want to contribute anything, I have my head down looking at the paper all this time, trying to think and trying to get another article from the Muslim Journal. We haven't had one in a while. Like I said, this particular issue is March 19th through the 25th, 2022. So this one was supposed to have come out. We were supposed to have gotten it right before Ramadan started, but we did not. We didn't get it then. We're just now getting it this past Monday. This past Friday. Sorry, I apologize. So it's full, too. It's full. So I just read to you about Ramadan, people who cannot fast. Okay. Let me see what else I can read in here. I'm just telling them how to talk to kids. Called kids. I don't like calling children kids because kids are baby goats and children are children. You know, they're not little animals. So please don't call your children, the little ones, kids. Anyway, Earth Talk, how to talk to children about climate change. You can talk to me about climate change because I tell you that ozone level is really, really spreading open wider and wider and wider. And we're breathing, looking at raw sun and breathing raw air with no filters and all that sort of stuff. So everything is being new. Haven't seen anything yet. Haven't seen anything yet. Let's see, Brother Habibullah. Yes. Brother Habibullah Salim from New Orleans that was on our show not too long ago. He's in the Muslim Journal now with the Masjid Rahim. It says Brother Habibullah Salim and Imam Rafiq Newman. Oh, yeah, okay. Imam Newman. Okay, left. Welcome Supreme Court Judge Piper Griffin. Isn't that something? And it looks like is this a female? Yeah, it's like a female. Yeah, I got a hair covered over. But it says Supreme Court Judge Piper Griffin in the center. Yeah, that's a female. Holding the Holy Quran and presented with Muslim Journal as a gift. Photos by Danny Allen. Oh, that's good. Brother Habibullah is on the case. And Sister Nadia Muhammad at Masjid Rahim welcomes Justice Griffin on her visit to the Masjid. Okay, she came to the Masjid. Sister Nadia, yeah, she was reading with us, and I think she's sort of kind of with the consortium too, to New Orleans as well. Okay, and it's page 7. This is just something I want to get caught up on with you. Page 7 I want to read. and he's talking about the Black Press. The Black Press of America celebrates 195 years of pleading the case, of pleading the cause of African descendants everywhere. Now, I want to read that to all because I don't know who has the privilege of being able to get a Muslim journal, but I would like to share this with you. I really would. We don't have too many people on the board right now. And people, a lot of them are getting ready for the Eid and their festivities and their preparations and all. But I would like to read this. 22. Okay. Looks like I have. Okay, this is the Quran, our brother. Sujah 1, one or the other. Looks like their number is on. And the board here. Okay, that's just a little bit on tarantulas. Yes, so okay, so I can read this. Not too long. Okay, and it reads, the Black Press of America celebrates 195 years of pleading the cause of African descendants everywhere. And it's got Freedom's Journal. And I can read that little small print, but it's New York Friday, March, oh, is that 1827? 1827, volume 1. Okay. And it says, today, at 195 years old, the Black Press continues to tackle domestic and global issues, including the new novel coronavirus pandemic and its effects on all citizens, particularly African Americans. I know we would want to talk about education, the children, but all of this is pertaining to the children. You know, we do have new information as well on the children, but all this year, since we haven't had paper in so long, we need to also catch up a little bit on this. We need to know about this too, pertaining to all the children as well as adults. Okay. And then we're saying the pandemic and its effects on all citizens, particularly African Americans. Had to clean my glasses. Okay, by Stacey M. Brown, NNPA Newswire senior correspondent. This is a gentleman, okay. National, on March 16, 1827, Samuel E. Cornish and John B. Rushworn founded the first black-owned newspaper in the U.S. They did so because there were no black voices in the debate over the abolition of slavery. In their first editorial, Cornish and Rushworn wrote, in short, whatever concerns us as a people will ever find a ready admission into the Freedom's Net Journal. 195 years later, the mission of the Black Press has not changed. Washington Informer publisher Denise Rollart Barnes wrote in an editorial, no matter whether black press journalists are invited to a seat at their table, the voices of those the black press represents will always have a seat at ours, Rollart Barnes wrote. From Freedom's Journal to the North Star to John Abbott's Chicago Defender, African-American-owned newspapers have sparked fires, equality, that have burned with the passion of fighting for freedom throughout history. Wednesday, March 16, 2022, marked the 195th anniversary of the Black Press of America, whose global impact remains undeniable. It all began with Freedom's Journal. On March 16, 1827, they announced its presence with a front page that contained these words. We wish to plead our own cause. Too long have others spoken for us. The four-page edition included stories about the struggle to end the horrors of slavery, lynching, and social injustice. It also informed the African-American community of international news of particular interest, like Haiti and Sierra Leone events. Freedom's Journal featured African-American men and women biographies, schools, jobs, and housing opportunities. For nearly two centuries, the 230 African-American papers and media companies represented by the National Newspaper Publishers Association, NNPA, National Newspapers Publishers Association, have proudly carried that legacy. The bond between Black American and the Black press remains strong. Relationships which have been the cornerstone of the Black community and the Black press for 195 years have always been its messenger in cementing that bond, remarked Westside Gazette publisher Bobby Henry. Dr. Tony Draper, the publisher of the 130-year-old Afro in Baltimore and Washington, also noted the enduring value of the Black press. The contribution of the Black press is invaluable. If not for the Black press, there would be a lot of things we would not have documented in terms of the African-American experience, Dr. Draper said. The Black press was founded in 1827, and African-Americans were not in any of the pages of the white-owned press unless there was an advertisement of our sale, of our resale, or us having run away from the slave owners or plantations. Dr. Draper continued, the Black press is one of the only places where you can find news and information and commentary about, by, and for African Americans across the spectrum. You don't have to do anything wrong to make the pages of the Black press. You don't have to do anything famous. The Black press covers the totality of the Black experience in the United States and beyond. The anniversary of the Black, anniversary of the Black press is a reminder of the contributions that remain indelibly associated with the fearlessness, determination, and success of the Black press. Those contributions include the works of Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, Ida B. Wells, Patrice Lumumba, Kwame Nkrumah, and former NNPA chairman Dr. Carlton Goodlett. Douglass, who helped enslaved people escape to the North while working with the Underground Railroad, established an abolitionist paper. My goodness, mouth is right on my tongue tied today. Okay. It says, Douglass, who helped enslaved people escape to the North while working with the Underground Railroad, established the abolitionist paper, the North Star, in Rochester, New York. He developed it into the most influential Black anti-slavery newspaper published during the antebellum era. The North Star denounced slavery and fought for the emancipation of women and other oppressed groups with a motto of right is of no sex, truth is of no color. God is the father of us all, and we are all brethren. Today, the Black press continues to reach across the ocean where possible to forge coalitions with the growing number of websites and special publications that cover Africa daily from on the continent. The spirit of Black journalism, which Rushworn and Carnish inspired, found its way to Houston 128 years later through a vision given to a local black businessman to birth a newspaper that positively reflected the black community while also reporting the hard truths happening in our communities at the local, state, and national level. Houston Forward, Times Associate editor Jeffrey Boney declared. Okay, Jeffrey Boney declared. The evolution of the black press, the oldest black business in America, had proprietors, the oldest black business in America, proprietors, take on issues of chattel slavery in the 19th century, Jim Crow segregation and lynching, the Great Northern Migration, the Civil Rights Movement, the transformation from the printing press to the digital age and computerized communication, with the Plessy versus Ferguson Supreme Court ruling that said no black man has any rights that a white man must honor. There came a flood of black publications to advocate for black rights and protest the wrongs done to blacks. Today, the black press continues to tackle domestic and global issues, including the coronavirus pandemic and its effects on all citizens, particularly African Americans. This is an important story about the history of the black press of America that has consistently been the freedom-fighting voice of Africa, about the history of black press of America that has consistently been the freedom-fighting voice of African people in America and throughout the world for 195 years without waiver or distortion of the truth, stated NNPA President and CEO Dr. Benjamin F. Chaffetz Jr. Today, in 2022, the black press remains the vital source of news and information for 50 million African Americans, he added. Chaffetz continued, on this momentous anniversary, the NNPA salutes all the African-American-owned newspapers and media companies that are affiliated with the NNPA's expanding network of over 230 media properties and channels. Alhamdulillah. That's good. That was worth reading and worth knowing about. You know, we have a paper we can refer to, a lot of information, the Black Press of America. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I don't know how many of you remember Brother A.K. Sabir. But Brother A.K. Sabir transitioned I think it's been about maybe 2 months now or three, if that many. But they have a write up here about him in the Muslim Journal. I remember he was an imam place. And he was from Atlanta here. And he was a businessman forever. Yes, a businessman. Definitely a businessman. He tried to help others get into business as well. It's not much about him. I would like to read this. Okay, celebrating the life of Abdul Karim Sabir, friend, neighbor, and entrepreneur extraordinaire. By Sabir Kasib Muhammad Sr. Sabir Kasib Muhammad Sr. Atlanta, Georgia. When I moved back to Atlanta after serving as imam at the Louisville, Kentucky Masjid in 1979, my wife Jessica and I eventually settled on to the former Stewart Avenue near Metropolitan Parkway in southwest Atlanta. Metropolitan Parkway was a major thoroughfare that connected Atlanta with the cities of Eastport and Hopeville. Yes, Hopeville. At that time, it was known for the vices on one end, for prostitution, sleazy strip clubs, and drugs, and long-established families on the other. There were two very large Muslim families just a couple of blocks from my home that I bonded with, as their children and my growing family experienced a long and valued friendship. Askia, oh yeah. Askia and Deborah Bashir had 9 children, and Askia was one of the most dynamic persons I had ever met. Not only was he an astute leader in the city of Atlanta Department of Parks and Recreation, where he eventually hired my wife, Jessica, but he also helped form the first African-American swim team in the state of Georgia that at first consisted of only his children, his 9 children. It wasn't long before my son, Sabir, too, joined the Bashir children to begin a historic rise to the top of American swimming by earning a scholarship to become the first African-American male to swim for the Harold Stanford Cardinal Swim Team. Sabir went on to become the first African American to set international American records in the pool. Askia contributed mightily to the development of young people all over Atlanta, and he wrote an outstanding book, How to Manage Your Parents Without Manipulation, that he was able to get on the curriculum of several major school systems in the nation. That should be a good book. Mm-hmm. How to Manage Your Parents Without Manipulations. Sounds good, too. Sounds interesting. Okay. His death on March 31st, 2016, left a great void, and his many contributions to the Atlanta Muslim community and school are remembered and greatly missed. Brother Abdul Karim Sabir, we talked about the recent one that passed, affectionately known as AK, had established himself in the Atlanta community as a very successful businessman whom all the Muslims consulted for insights on business. You're right. AK had expanded the negative idea of hustling into a valued and admired vending profession following his success in the housing market. I remember my conversations with Brother AK, who provided me with my first items to sell as a vendor in Atlanta and told me how to be successful at it. He always carried a variety of items and changed items from time to time. One of his most successful ventures was an owner of a very popular steak and take that he owned on the acclaimed Auburn Avenue, just one block from the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached. He employed several Muslims, including my wife, in that business before moving on to conquer other business challenges. He was a successful trader in gold and silver, yes, and his always immaculate dress was a symbol of his success. That's very true. I remember. When Brother Lawrence and Sister Edith Samshedine moved from New York to Atlanta, they got their start in the iconic Supreme Fish Delight business by acquiring the steak and take from Brother A.K. I didn't know that they were in from New York. One of the Brother A.K.'s most pleasing ventures was his soup business that he continued until his illness led to his death. He would prepare very delicious soups at his home and sell them in jars as he didn't know that. Soups and sell them in jars as he. And my eyes run in water. Up apologize about this. He had turned me skipping pages because I know I had the page. Okay, here you go. Here it is right there. Okay. Zip around Atlanta. So here's the jars of bean soup. My favorite was his seafood soup, while my brother Imam John Muhammad loved his bean soup. I also became a fan of the CBD cream that he sold that I found relieved me of any pain or muscle fatigue after my swimming, which I tried to do at least times each week. His closest companions prior to his death were brothers Asim Abdullah and Abu Bakr Medion. Yeah, I remember. Both these brothers became constant companions of Brother AK upon moving to Atlanta, and I asked them to contribute their comments to this article because of their close union. Brother Asim, about his relationship with Brother AK, said, "Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. My brother AK Sabir was a dear friend, business partner, and comrade in the Deen of Islam. He and I traveled across the country in pursuit of various business opportunities, and we actively engaged with Muslims from many different communities in order to promote the spread of the proper teaching of the Islamic faith. AK Sabir was a man who could trust. We shared ideas that benefited both of us and our beloved community of believers. He left a strong legacy that, inshallah, will live long into the future. Hopefully, that will be a benefit and comfort to his family. People who remember his knowledge and experience will be sorrowfully missed. I pray that Allah will forgive him of his shortcomings, his faults and sins, and provide him with a high place in paradise. I mean. Brother Medhiun added these thoughts about his relationship with Brother AK. When I first came to Atlanta, AK Sabir was not the first brother I met from the community. It was Azim Abdullah, and I had told him that I was a real estate investor. The next weekend, he told me that I had been invited to a meeting AK had arranged. Apparently, Azim had told AK about me. That was when I first met AK Sabir. They were meeting to arrange a strategy to purchase a property that was being put up for sale by Sister Lancey's oldest son, Kareem. We decided not to purchase the property, a business relationship and a very close friendship began. During the development of our friendship and business relationship, I had noticed how Sabir interacted with different people. And whenever he did, he always treated people the same. He was always kind and accommodating with everyone, and he treated everyone the same, and that was with dignity. He very rarely became irritated with people. I never saw it. And that alone with everyone, yes. He knew, and everyone he met, he took me under his tutorship and taught me the simple methods he used to cut various real estate deals. He would frequently have me to accompany him, taking me around to meet friends he knew, places he frequently, and properties he owned as he made his rounds to collect his rents. I also met some of his family members. We traveled together twice, to Chicago and also to Charlotte for dawah events conducted at the masjid there. He, myself, and Azim Abdullah had formed a very close friendship by that time. In 2018, we traveled together to Baltimore, Maryland, during Ramadan to attend an event conducted by Imam Earl Alamini and Minister Carlos Muhammad of the Nation of Islam. Sabir and I also traveled together to attend a couple of conventions that were held in Newark, New Jersey. In all of our business relations, I continue to learn from the brother. He became a mentor to me, and I always appreciated the time he took with me to teach me his methods of salesmanship. May we continue, or may we continue to celebrate the life of the believer, the people like Brother A.K. Sabir has influenced and supported many. Sure did. That he did. Alhamdulillah. I know myself. Yeah. Okay, I see someone here who has their hands up and wanting to share something with us. And I can stop reading for right now and bring him in. His hand up, so I'll just take it that he's ready. We're going to call on him, my dear husband, Brother Abdullah Rasul Akbar. As-salamu alaykum. Are you there? Brother Akbar? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Oh, you hear me now. Okay, I see your hand up, and I've introduced you already, so you've got it, brother. You can go on.
You were talking about a great friend of mine, A.K. Shabir,
yeah.
And really enjoyed nice thing to say. That's such a good man, a good person that I've met in my life. Knowing this brother, he has been a blessing for this community, and he has been blessing wherever he goes. Wherever he went, he was a blessing to those people that he met. He was a kind, honest, and a decent human being. And we think we're going to be thoroughly missed. A lot of those things, so we think. And so we know that tonight we're here to discuss the means and ways of preserving our children, keeping our children away from the environment. And I am limited in what I see, but I do understand what Scripture said about environment. Never did people stop being Muslim or being the kind of human being God have created them to be until they fell into the wrong environment. I believe that to the environment or the neighborhoods or the streets and everything reflects a decent environment, everything we do, from sports to dance to eating to support halal, what Allah says is permissible, and until we get those kind of environment for our children, then we always, like now, I go to the Fulton County Jail or the Douglas County Jail, and right now we're not going to the Clayton County Jail because they're having problems. But anyway, those jails, whenever I go there, there's always somebody in the jail, 1, 2, 5, sometimes many, that a Muslim and got Muslim name, grows up in Muslim home. But what they did grow up in a Muslim environment, and that is what got them in the position they were in, and they were acting more like the people that were supposed to be in jail, and then acting like people who were submitting their will to do the will of God. But they always was happy to hear the word. But what I'm saying, until we create that environment that our people can go in and live in and flourish in with our business, getting them jobs, because they have a psychological effect on our children when we send them to school for all them years and then send them to the people they know and they are learning, and especially in this world, that these people had us in slavery. And these people had an image of in the world as God that looked like them. So all this confusion that our children receive from this image. And we know that that's not going to change. And Allah said he's not going to change our condition until we change what's in our hearts about each other. And changing the environment that has any structure in environment five prayers a day, a here and there dance. All these things are reminder of our children that they not only that we talk religion, we live it, and we live it together with the community. And when the children find out that everything in that community belongs and controlled by us, then that's another burden off that child on where it's going to live or what's going to happen to it if mama and daddy, grandmama or granddaddy pass away. That child will see himself rooted in that neighborhood. So we have to, we said, New Africa, can you see it? And not only should we be saying, can you see it? Can we produce it? Can we make it happen? We're not trying to make it happen. We're just painting a picture of something that's not there. It's our imagination, as the song says, and imagination can run wild. But we had to come to the reality. Mothers and fathers, as human beings, that's what being a Muslim means, being the top of a human being. Because a human being is not a racist. We're not going to be racist. We're not going to be hateful for anybody, no matter what they have done to us. We're not going to be like the Jews are still mad at the Russians for doing them like they did, because anytime they find one of them Germans that had a concentration camp and did terrible thing to them, they known to take that person to court and take away his freedom. And sometimes they kill that person, have that person killed for a war crime. So they don't forget. They like us. We don't hold no. You enslaved us, and we know God. You ma'am said we know God will come get us out of that condition. We know that we have faith in God, and God has delivered on our faith. And now we got faith. We don't have the environment to keep each other in. So now they're picking us off a little by kind of material greed and all kind of foolishness coming from the movies and the magazines, and coming especially from the movies, like these people are showing you that they got a life without God. And they show you they got a life without God, it's just like putting you in a arena full of snakes. Pretty soon you keep coming in that arena, pretty soon that one of them snakes gonna bite you. And pretty soon you'll be dead, or you're gonna be doing what the dead people do if that influence coming from this environment get into you. You get the big head. You get the head where you think that you don't need your creative. You don't have to pray. You don't have to give in charity. You don't have to get married. You can be a man. You can be a woman. When you get in that environment, it's like a snake that bit you from this world, and you become, you die to the righteousness that God wants you to have. And you come alive in the field, and you go along with the field. And it's just like a person might say, don't with two people that like the truth. Two people in this world don't like the truth. Who is that? It's the devil and the one the devil made. The devil can make you a part of his network doing what the devil wants you to do, and then give you the language to tell you that you're doing your own thing, and you repeat that, and you can't come away from that because you lose all of the weapons of the devil. I'm doing my own thing. I'm grown. Nobody tell me what to do. That is the shield of the that is the weapon of the devil. They will give you that kind of weapon. So Allah is in charge, and Allah is to obey him from the day that you come in this earth. He gave you senses, and them senses should be turned towards obeying him. And then once you get through that, you'll have a comfortable living going through this earth. You won't want to hate or fight and kill nobody. All you want to do is be the man God gave you, loving your family, loving the people in your neighborhood, and loving the people in your community and in your immediate family, your brothers and sisters, your mom and daddy, your cousin. You'll be a loving person, caring about doing the thing that a human being does. And because right now, Satan has messed up. He done laid in wait and get people off of the course of being a human being. And you can go to any supermarket right now, and they go down the aisle, go to the checkout, and you'll see people that do not look natural because Satan has entered their life, have turned their life upside down, and they look at you like you scream, and you look at them like they caught off a spaceship or got off a mountain or something with all the red, pink, and blue, and yellow hair, white, blue hair, all the tattoos all over their bodies. They look like monsters. This has come from the influence of Satan. So Satan show you what he have done. And when you find people like that, the Quran calls them disbelievers. Why they call them disbelievers? Because they don't want to believe nothing that's morally upright. They don't want to believe nothing that goes along with righteous people. They don't believe. They don't go along. But they believe that their sins is always as good for them. It make them happy. So the only thing you can do to people like this is be a sign to them and be a warning to them and let them stay, but also have your environment where you can come in that environment, but they wouldn't dare come into an environment of righteous people because they know, just like they said, if you African-American, they was afraid to eat the bean pie or eat any of our food because they were scared they would become one of us. They were really messed up in the mind. If they had the bean pie, or they had the bean soup, or they had some carrot cake, or they had steak and lamb prepared for us, they probably would come one of us, and they didn't want to come decent. So they made their choice. But get on the other side, the Quran gonna say, they're going to say, can you speak for me? Can you help me out of this situation? And we're the people that's paradise will have to say, we cannot come to your aid, nor can you come. You choose the way you want to go, and now you got to live with it, although you are in hell. So that's the choice you make. And that's the only thing we can do. As all the prophets did, they came and made the message clear. And many of these people today do not want that good message. So thank you for allowing me. I will come back if you want me to. May Allah continue to bless all of us to be Muslim, to be upright, to make that and make attempt to make that environment. Grow your own food. Be nice to everybody, but don't let them bite you. Don't let them take you away from what God wants to give you and take you away from the good life that Allah has promised us. And Allah never breaks his promise. I greet you as the King, Ramadan Mubarak, and Assalamu alaikum, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Alaykum assalam. Break my to Allah, better catch you when you Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you, dear husband. I appreciate your comment. Very helpful. Minds thinking, it'll put you on your P's and Q's and make you think. And this will be needed to think, because thinking benefits the thinker in a lot of ways where you wouldn't even expect. We appreciate those remarks. If anyone else would like to make a comment or contribute to conversation, push 1 on your phone receiver and we bring you into the queue to your voice, your concerns. Meanwhile, I mentioned that Ramadan is coming to an end for another year, and it's almost like we were happy to see it come in, but now we're crying because we do hate to see it leave because it's like we, oh, wow, didn't have a chance to really be 100%. You know how they say 99 and a half won't do. Got to be 100, you know. But for those who weren't able to make it to that 100, Allah is the best knower. And we just pray for more strength next time that we can do a completion with our fasting and our reading and our learning. You know, I didn't get a chance to really read any additional books this time at all. And I was really gung-ho to have what I wanted to read, but I couldn't sit down to get time to read that book. But Allah's best know, inshallah, read it. That we just pray, Allah, that next time be better for us and we can improve on what we need improvement on. Pray Allah bless us to see another Ramadan, and we thank Allah for blessing us to see this one. We really do. I'm not forced, but I would like to mention it because I bear that in mind. You know, there are things that a lot of us hear and we need to bear in mind in case, you know, we hear it again or in case it crosses our path. Call to see about a brother and a sister that had been ill and I hadn't spoke to him in a while because I've been staying in myself a lot because of the pandemic, you know, and my arthritis. And I just have been staying in a lot. And my eyes, too, with the cataract and then the extra lens, they put in their new lens or something, and it's causing my eyes to blur so I don't dry like I used to. But I do think about, you know, people who are sick and shut in and others that I don't see now because of staying in, you know, a lot. And I just think about the community. And I thought about a brother and a sister, and I said, let me call. And I called, brother answered the phone, asked him how he was doing. And he was saying, oh, I'm all right, you know, just get tired out from the dialysis I was going through, you know, so much. I said, oh, I said, I did hear, I think that you were on dialysis, you know. And he said, yeah. He said, but I'm just waiting. Just waiting for Ramadan to end, you know. I said, waiting for Ramadan to end? I said, oh, so you cannot have so many appointments with the dialysis, you know, and whatever. I said, what, you waiting for a kidney? He said, waiting for a kidney? He said, no, ma'am. He said, I don't have any kidneys. You know, he said, I'm just waiting for Ramadan to end. And when he said that, I didn't start asking questions. I started putting two and two together what he was trying to say to me and just didn't want to come out with it to say that I'm waiting for Ramadan to end so that I can go on and, go back, you know, to I'm ready, you know, in so many words, you know, I mean. Two kidneys, how can I stay here? You know, but, and then I asked about the wife, and he said she's doing okay because she too suffered from an illness or sickness or whatever. And I heard her say, who is that? And he told her, and she said, oh, I'm Legama. I said, well, Legama Salam. But you see, we go through changes in life, and people don't know each other's circumstances, you know. But sometimes instead of people trying to be patient with others, and trying to understand if they can and pray Allah, you know, for wisdom, not an understanding of our brother and sister, you know, and instead of trying to seem like we're adding more to a situation. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me, please. Excuse me. Okay, I'm back. I don't know. I'm experimenting on something in there, a box or something that he bought. For volume and whatever. But anyway, we just have to always just remember when you think things are going salty for you, you know, and different things are happening to you that seem like you would feel that, now, this shouldn't be happening to me. I don't deserve this. You know, this is really bad. And you think there's always somebody else who's worse off than you are, you know, and somebody else is doing a little bit better than you are. Well, I wouldn't say better, but in a much worse situation, I put it like that, because we don't know the situation, whether it's bad, mild, or desperate need, or whatever. You know, we don't know. So we try to use correct words, you know, that's what we try to do, and we should try to emphasize that too, and not try to, like they say, we shouldn't try to pour water on a drowning man. You know how they used to say that? So, wow, you're really coming down hard on that man, you know. Don't, it's like you pour water on a drowning man. Already doing bad. Already having a little bit tough or rough, you know. Things not going right, but you own him like that and own her like that. It's like pouring water on a drowning man or drowning woman, whatever the case may be. But we want to try and be a little bit more understanding with each other. And that's what I said I was going to speak on, too. I wanted to speak on is the time is well, almost near. What is it? My eyes are so blurred. Okay, that's 8:39, okay, p.m. here. But I was going to say, what I have learned doing this, or have accepted, I put it that way, doing this Ramadan, is that, you know, I pray for patience, prayer, and perseverance, you know, with the community, with my relatives, with people I know, you know, and acquaintances, sisters and brothers, and whoever the case may be, you know. And I'm sincere. You know, I pray for patience, prayer, and perseverance every time I pray. Even before Ramadan, I mean, anytime I pray for patience, prayer, and perseverance. You know, I know I do. You know, because this is what I want. Because I want somebody to be patient with me. And I want somebody to be able to things negatively all the time. You know, Allah has blessed us. We used to say we got that ESP, that extra sensual perception, you know, when saying, I know what they're thinking. You know, it's like you can just read their minds, what they're thinking, you know. You've been around them so much until you can tell, look at the expression on their faces and just the tone of their voices and tell, this is not meant to be a positive suggestion or conversation. This is meant to be a negative conversation. And the devil is trying to do his job, just be slick and sneak and sliver his way on in, you know, getting in where he can fit in. But that should not be the case. We shouldn't have to put each other on trial like that, you know, and test each other's patience and just try to do little things to be negative all the time and argumentative and assuming and accusing, you know, like that spirit, you know, that's called it. I reverse it, you know, when somebody seems to try, this is what I learned, somebody seems to try to make things seem as if I'm causing a situation that I'm really not. I'm reading my mind and saying, no, that's not what I'm coming at. That's not what where I'm coming from. I just learned to reverse. You know, so maybe that's what they're trying to do. Because it's definitely not what I'm trying to do, you know. And I don't believe, I've learned that trust in that we shouldn't get on like the old preachers used to do. What we used to say, when I used to hear people say as well, oh, that sermon he taught, really looked like he was talking to me, preaching about me, you know. Because some of the points and things, you know, hit home. You know, things, sound like you're talking about me. You know, stuff like that. And we can't live being paranoid. We must not be paranoid. Because as long as we've got alone outside and we're trying to live the right life and we're trying to treat others the way we want to be treated, you know what I'm saying, and we're trying to respect others and therefore we expect respect in return, you know, instead of always just ding, 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 like that old bee or that old wasp of his prison, sting you, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. No, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that to each other. And we shouldn't preach to the choir in a sense where we are trying to put out little hints, you know, and things like that. Muslims, I mean, when you're practicing, we pray a lot of blessings not to have those kind of ways. If you have something to say to a person, come to them. You know, like they say in the olden days, pull your brother or your sister's coattail. Let them know. You know, don't talk around the bush and beat around the bush and throw out hints and go and talk about them to somebody else or preach over roust them. You know what I'm saying? Because you think people are not aware? You think nobody knows? You said, and you think people don't have that ESP, you know, like you, that actual central perception, like you to say, mm-hmm. Yeah, they think they're getting away, but they're talking to me. They're throwing hints. And they're speaking on this, that, or the other. Well, if they have young people say, if they have a beef with me, you have a disagreement about something I've said, or you feel them, come to me. Come to me and tell me. Don't be one to get on the wire, you know, like Shaitan, and spread false images of somebody else to somebody else, you know, because, you know, like we used to always say too, you know, well, they may not be friends of yours, but they say you shouldn't be friends with them because they so-and-so. They said, well, they haven't shown me anything like that, so I can't go by your word about that. And until they show me something different, you know, like what you're saying, then they're my friend. You know, as far as I can see, they're my friend. So I'm not going to dislike a person because you dislike a person, you know. And if I dislike what somebody said, I'm not going to pass it on to somebody else, you know, and try to start a negative outlook or way of life or negative impression of that person to another person, you know, just because I may feel that way. That's not good. That's just not good. And we're all supposed to be, we are intelligent, true-believing Muslims trying to be upright, to Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth and all in between. You know, we're trying to be upright. We're trying to love for our brother and our sister that we love for ourselves. Because, you know, Allah will not change the conditions of people until they first start trying to change what they feel in their heart for each other. And that's just the way it's got to be, brothers and sisters. That's just the way it's got to be, whether we agree with it or not. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. And think I'm going to be there. No, I don't like what they say. And I just think, and I ain't going to be about it. No, we shouldn't be like that. We should not learn. We should learn not to gossip as well. Don't gossip and pass on any negative. You can't say something positive or good about another person, even though you may hear somebody else speaking negative of them. If you can't say something positive about that person, I said, well, I don't have nothing to say about that because, to me, you know, they're all right. You know, I don't look at it like that. You know what I'm saying? So that may be the way you feel, but it's not the way that I feel. So, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion and the way they want to think. You know what I'm saying? And their opinion, where they should be respected, even if you don't agree with it. You know, you can't tell them, well, you're wrong. You know, oh, you can't tell them, well, that's wrong, you know, not unless they come to you individually and talk to you. If they have something negative or you've done something or said something that they don't like, don't come as an argument now because, see, that's provoking. We have to learn how to work and deal with each other. So we were out there, we may pull a pistol or they pull a knife, switchblade knife or something, and we may start to rumble, you know what I'm saying? But we are out of that type of environment now. And we don't want to live like that anymore. So we try to handle things as decent, intelligent, individual, truly believing in serious Muslims. This is the way we want to try and have. And I can't tell
elderly or older people my age or older what to do, the only thing I can do is give advice and let you know and share with you what I've learned from situations, you know. So I just want to leave, that's what I've learned this month of Ramadan, to just to be more, I said, you pray for patience, prayer, and perseverance, Nair. Now you have to, what do you want to do with it when you get it? You know, you want to let people just talk to you any kind of way, or you want to let people just treat you any kind of way because you pray to be patient with people, you know, and just hold on, you know, you persevere, you know. And it's, you know, you make it up in your mind, you ask Allah to help you to overcome your shortcomings, you know, and you try to accept life on life's terms, and you try to live with others and get along with others. And everything you say or I say is not written in stone. And we stand to be corrected. We're human beings. You were not perfect for that way. I think I heard him say one time, don't say you're just human beings, you know, but just say, you know, you have a lot of stuff to give us your shortcomings, and then you try to work on them yourself, you know, work on your shortcomings. So that's the way I've learned that. I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to try to have more self-control of myself at all times in regards to the situation, you know, because I'm an adult now, you know, and I'm an intelligent adult, a truly Muslim, you know, and I give respect, you know. So if the other person decides not to give the same respect back to me that I give, then that's on them, you know. But I'm going to always do that, have respect for others, respect them, talk to others the way I want them to talk to me, treat others the way I want them to treat me, you know, and then I think that'll help. Ask Allah, please bless you with strength that you need to get through this drama and this whatever we're confronted with, which is a negative, you know. Please bless us to have some self-control of ourselves. Okay, I see. Okay, look at Sister Karan Obra. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, okay. My phone is over way over there, and I'm talking. I must be talking off the line. Okay, Sister Karan, how you doing?
Fine, alhamdulillah.
Good,
I just wanted to say is that, just add on to something that you had said, is that that's why, you know, they say tafsir.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is community life.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. That's why I say community life is so very important. Without community life, our children, they begin to lose not only unity, but also their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we have to start developing is community life. Alhamdulillah, we have to start reaching out. Mm-hmm. You know that as grandmothers, and you know, we still have responsibility. Our responsibility mm-hmm. is to give our children wisdom. And one of the things we have to, because a lot of things that we learn, we have to keep remembering that we keep the good during the first, we keep that good, and the rest, all that falsehood is what we leave alone. And one of the things it said was very important. It's about unity, you know, teaching the children their history and give them wisdom. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. I agree.
And this is something that I think that we need to get together and start teaching our children. Is
mm-hmm.
And that is the problem right there.
All right.
And see them and teach them, well, like you said, what it is, it's the history. And history gives us a head start in life.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah.
That's right. Absolutely.
One thing we have to remember that when Muslim comes together, we come together to do right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you see your brother is doing something wrong, and while when we coming together, you know, because what he do with his personal life is his business. But you know what when you see that he's doing wrong, you should sometimes pull his coat.
That's right. And let him know. Told in the early days.
Alhamdulillah, you know, and then you hang around people to keep all that confusion down. You just hang around people that do right.
That's right.
Why hang around people that do wrong? You ain't gonna go nowhere. You ain't nowhere. Allah says you ain't going nowhere.
That's right. Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah.
But it seems like something like that is negative and all. It's easy to spread and all that. But something that's good, oh, wow. It seems to just hit on it and hit and miss. Hit on it and let it go instead of expounding on it and trying to practice it so that they can endure for a long time. You know, we just have to be more cautious. A lot of it is not intentional. I put it that way in order to feel better about it myself. A lot of it is not intentional. It just comes that way, comes out that way for some reason or another. We can do better. Yeah,
we should practice doing right. When you see, like you said, when you see your brother doing wrong, you say, "Look, that's not right. We can't. You don't go with him in his wrong doing." That's one thing to do. And then one thing I remember too that was good doing a lot of times that we need to teach our our children. Like one thing, this is what I got that what I want to say about teaching our children. You know, like the wisdom. Let them know that Almighty God had blessed everybody with a talent. I said, you got a talent. Look, I just think about Josiah, look what he could do. He could do those bubble numbers just like he's writing his name. And it'd be looking good. I said, that is your talent. And see, our children got to develop. Don't try to get envy of someone else because you got one too. And what was taken from us is that we tell them to let's work together. When you work together, you could really do. That is the thing that you have to work together. Unity is power, and education. Can't put that out. Those are some of the things that are some of the tools of power. Unity and education. Educate yourself.
Right. Absolutely. It never stops. Education never stops. We'll ever be learning things.
And then we must let our children know that Almighty God Allah will forgive you for all your sins if kept putting a partner with thee. Allah knows what's in your heart, and Allah knows when you want to change or do whatever that you know. I said, so you have to let them know that Allah will forgive you. He's so merciful.
Right. That's true. Yep.
Alhamdulillah.
Right. Very true words. Good words, sister. Good words.
Alhamdulillah. Allah sees all.
Oh, yes, definitely, always. Okay, so what is there anything you want to share with us new from your Ramadan experience this year?
Allah have really, truly blessed me, alhamdulillah. I have really, my family have been blessed.
That's good, that's good.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, then. Thanks for sharing. And come on back on when you get ready. Share some more. Oh, wow, it's 8:57 right now. Let me see. Brother Muhammad, you got anything else to say, sister? Just go on. Got anything else to say?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Let me go to brother right here. Okay. Assalamualaikum, Sharifa and brother Muhammad. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Just wanted to say that to you.
Ramadan
Mubarak. Okay.
Now we just got on. We was on there Marquez first Sunday. So we just got on and now we're at our meal.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. I missed it. You know, just the 1st of May just came so fast. And we were just on the lifeline. And then to remember the first Sunday, which is today.
Right.
It just slipped my mind. So many things going on here. Just slipped my mind. I just have to write everything down at every time. Write everything down at every time and just keep looking at the calendar. Keep looking at it.
I hear Karan speaking, so... They miss it all. Nobody else heard it, knew about it, forgot it. Everybody forgot.
Quran spoke on it. No, you mean the first Sunday?
Yes.
I don't know. You mean for this show or for the first Sunday in Chicago?
I mean, the first Sunday today in Chicago. Yeah, Mosque has first Sunday.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I've spoken to several people today, but it was like in the middle of the session, you know, they text me to let me know, Sister Ayaz, I didn't hear from you. You know, today's first Sunday. I said, oh, my goodness, it's midway now, and I got to be on the lifeline. I mean, got to be on the show tonight, Blog Talk Radio show. No need to be getting on there now, getting started, you know. I'll rerun.
It's been announced the first Sunday every year. The first Sunday, it's always announced.
I know. Yes, it was. It's been announced.
No. So I guess I like the question. Did anybody you know was on it?
Yes, Haji Lala was on there. And Sister Zelly. If I'm not mistaken, Sister Zelly called in. Sister Lala did the Zoom. And I haven't heard anybody else.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess I'll get off and go ahead and finish our meal. And
yeah, I got to get back to my so
okay,
thirsty.
I'll sit on the phone.
Okay, well, lega my slam. Back my slam. I better talk to you. And now I guess we can say Eid Mubarak.
Right, almost.
Almost, right. Okay, then, we're going to close out. And you want to close out for us, Brother Muhammad? Please?
Oh, Lord, give us good in this life and good in the destiny and protect our hearts from debating after God has come. I mean.
Okay, brothers and sisters, Ramadan Mubarak, and inshallah, we'll be going to the prayer. I don't think it's going to be tomorrow. I really don't, because they haven't said anything yet about the moon being sighted. Then they say if we plus the call, though, at 12 o'clock, you know, around 12 o'clock, and it'll be the message will be on the phone if the masjid call. I call it El Moving Noon for those things like that. If we don't hear anything tonight, then it'll be Tuesday. The Eid will be on Tuesday. Whenever it is, we're ready for it. Well, here at least they said prayer would start at 9:30, give us plenty of time to get there.
Call it now, sure.
That's what I'm gonna do when I get off the line. I'm gonna.
I think it's there. Call around 11 or 12 o'clock. So give us some time.
Right. It's true. Okay, I'm gonna call soon to finish hanging up from here. But thank you all for coming on and thanks for closing for us, brother.
Muhammad and Sister Sharifa. Talk to y'all later on. Thanks for calling in. And thank you, Sarah, okay. for on. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, welcome, Assalam.